Let us call upon the name of our covenant God together now in congregational prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, thou hast revealed unto us marvels. Thou hast shown unto us wonders that are beyond the comprehension of us who dwell here below. For thou hast shown unto us our Savior's joy and gladness in hearing the call to prayer, and in going up to thy house. Thou hast shown us his love for his church, and has shown us his desire for the peace of his people. Thou hast shown us his intercession for his brethren and companions' sakes, as he now says, "Peace be within thee." And because of the house of the Lord our God, he seeks our good. We pray, Father, that thou wilt give unto us the knowledge of that wonder by faith in this evening, as thou hast drawn us again into thy courts. We pray, Father, that thou wilt cause the worship of the evening to redound unto thee and to thy glory. For it is the worship of Jesus Christ, the head of his church, which he, while upon this earth, rendered unto thee, the zeal of thine house eating him up. We thank thee, Father, that he has finished and completed even the worship of the church for righteousness, that he has done all of this on our behalf and in our place, and that he now gives to us the privilege of coming into thy house, as he takes us here through his blood and brings us before thy throne of grace through himself, who is the way, the truth, and the life. For no man cometh unto thee but by him. We thank thee, Father, that he ever liveth to make intercession for us, that he prays unto thee and beseeches thee that thou wilt do all things that thou hast promised, not because thou dost need one on thy right hand beseeching thee that thy will be done, for it is thy good pleasure to do thy will always, but because we need to know that in heaven there is a mediator who takes us unto thee and who covers our sins in his blood and thus makes us worthy for his sake to stand before thee and receive from thee all of the life and blessing and salvation that thou hast appointed unto us in him. And so we beseech thee, Father, that thou wilt give unto us in this evening the joy of our Savior, the joy of thy house. We pray, Father, that thou wilt give unto us the glad tidings of the gospel that make us glad. Wilt thou open to us the scriptures and the doctrine of those scriptures, that we might know the blessing of thee, our God, to us in the gift of the sacraments. We pray that thou wilt teach us from thy word and the doctrine of that word regarding the appointment of those sacraments, their use, their efficacy, that thou wilt show us the gospel of those sacraments, that we who are poor and empty, we who are hungry and thirsty, we who are blind and deaf and dumb and lame and dead, that we might know a pledge of thy goodwill towards us and of thy love towards us, that thou wilt show us this through the preaching of the gospel in this evening. We pray, Father, that thou wilt continue to build us up as a congregation. Wilt thou continue to feed us in the green pastures of thy word week by week. To that end, wilt thou give unto thy servant the knowledge of the gospel, which he has not of himself, but must receive time and again from thee. And wilt thou give unto us the proclamation of the truth, which we have not of ourselves, but must receive time and again from thee. We pray, Father, that thou wilt carry thy word to our hearts by thy Spirit, that we might be edified and nourished unto eternal life. We pray that thou wilt remember us also in our sojourn, in all of the trial and loss of this earthly way. Wilt thou remember us in our sorrows, Be with those in our midst whose spirits are bowed down and are heavy. We pray that thou wilt lift us up, that thou wilt give to us the peace that passeth all understanding, which peace we have in Jesus Christ, for being justified by faith, we have peace with thee through our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that thou wilt remember us in our brokenness, and in our injury, and in our recovery. Wilt thou remember us on our bed of pain and affliction? Wilt thou be our God and provide all things necessary for soul as well as body? And wilt thou give to us the good hope and comfort and knowledge that thou as our God art faithful, that thou dost never leave nor forsake thy people, for Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We pray also that thou wilt continue to remember the school that thou hast given unto us. We thank thee for Pavilion Christian. Wilt thou continue to establish and maintain the school? We marvel at it, Father, for every day anew we are reminded again that this school is a gift from thee, that we cannot maintain it of ourselves. We thank thee, Father, that thou hast given unto us covenant seed, for children are an heritage of thee, and the fruit of the womb is thy reward. We thank thee that thou hast given unto us an association, that thou hast knit us together in like mind, in the truth of the gospel, and that thou hast caused us to bear one another's burdens, and to look not every man on his own things, but the things of others. We pray, Father, that thou wilt continue to give us these things according to thy will. We thank thee that thou hast given teachers. We thank thee for assistants. We thank thee for the many volunteers. We marvel, Father, at what thou hast built here. We pray that thou wilt also maintain this our city, for except thou dost maintain the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. We pray, Father, that thou wilt give unto our covenant seed a covenant rearing in the fear of thy name, that they might learn in all things, in all the facets of the creation, to see thy hand, and that they might learn also, as they now occupy the station and calling that thou hast given to them of students, to be prepared for the station and occupation that thou shalt give them some day. We pray, Father, that thou wilt bless the school, that thou wilt maintain it and keep it. We pray thy blessing also upon thy saints wherever they are over the length and breadth of the earth. Continue to gather, defend, and preserve thy church by thy word and spirit. We pray for our brethren in Singapore. Look upon them in thy mercy. Establish them evermore in the gospel of their salvation. And wilt thou establish there in due time a church institute according to thy will. And in the meantime, wilt thou encourage our brethren, wilt thou give to them the joy of their salvation. We thank thee, Father, that thou hast brought us to know one another, for it is a source of wonder to us that, in being united unto our head Jesus Christ, we are not alone, but thou hast also gathered thy saints from other parts of the world. We thank thee that thou hast caused us to know one another. We pray, Father, that thou wilt build thy church in Singapore. Remember also thy saints in the Philippines. Wilt thou bless them as they desire to be more formally organized as a fellowship and to gather together on the Lord's Day. We pray that thou wilt give them this desire according to thy will and good pleasure. We pray that thou wilt feed them and nourish them in the Reformed faith and the gospel of salvation, that thou wilt establish them upon the rock who is Jesus Christ. And because this is the work of no mere man, wilt thou perform it by thy sovereign power. And we thank thee, Father, that thou hast caused us to know one another. We pray that thou wilt continue to strengthen us, to encourage one another in the gospel of salvation. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt give unto us the eyes of faith to see the building of an holy Catholic Church. We thank thee, Father, for our Savior, who is mighty, and who is firm, and who is the rock and the cornerstone upon which the church is built. We beseech thee, Father, that thou wilt look upon us in our callings in this week that thou dost give unto us, Wilt thou establish us? Wilt thou maintain us? Wilt thou bless us and keep us? Wilt thou cause us to go forth into the week with joy, to go forth in the strength of the nourishment that thou dost give in the gospel of our salvation? Wilt thou bless us in our labors, in our callings and stations and occupations? And we pray that in all things thy name might receive the glory and honor. Be merciful unto us, forgiving our sins, blotting them out in our Savior's blood. Wilt thou also keep us from sin, giving unto us that life of gratitude that thou dost give unto us as thy gift, that the glory of a life of obedient good works might redound unto thy name and not unto us. Wilt thou hear our prayer? Answer us in thy mercy, for we pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen. We worship the Lord now in the giving of our offerings. The first offering is for the building fund, and the second is for the school fund. We turn now to Psalm 123. O thou that dwellest in the heavens, I lift mine eyes to thee. The Lord Jesus Christ singing regarding his trust and looking to Jehovah, and we in him as the members of his body will sing the four verses, which is also the four stanzas of Psalm 123. The tune is not familiar, so we'll play through it once, and then the four verses of Psalm 123. We turn in God's Word this evening, first of all, to Matthew 26. We'll be reading three brief passages this evening. In two of them, we have the institution of the sacraments. First of all, the institution of the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26, and then in Matthew 28, the institution of baptism. And then in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 4, the apostle's explanation of the essence and meaning of those sacraments of being baptized and of eating and drinking, which is all Jesus Christ. First then, Matthew 26, verses 26 through 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. Then we turn to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And then finally, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. This is God's holy and inspired word. May he bless it to our heart this evening. On the basis of those passages and many others, we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 25 again. Lord's Day 25. Question 65. Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence doth this faith proceed? From the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel, and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. What are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals, appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal, for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Are both word and sacraments, then, ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed, for the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel, and assures us by the sacraments, that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ, which he offered for us on the cross. How many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? Two, namely, Holy Baptism and the Holy Supper. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, this evening, as we continue considering Lord's Day 25 of the Heidelberg Catechism, we come to a specific treatment of the sacraments that God has appointed for the Church through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come to this truth of the sacraments, we come to a little oasis in our wilderness. We come to refreshment. We come to rest. We come to the nourishment that God gives to His people through the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to that too in the preaching of the gospel. We come to that too with regard to the means of grace. But that oasis and that rest is true also with regard to the sacraments. We can see that rest and that refreshment as we consider our Lord with His disciples in the upper room, administering the Lord's Supper to them and instituting that supper for the first time in Matthew 26. There they are, this little despised band. There they are, those who are going to be afraid. And the Lord is going to teach them to fear not as He goes out with them from that upper room and teaches them about His work and about His purpose with them. There they are, sinners, these disciples. And our Lord, looking upon those sinners and looking upon those men who are about to go out into great oppression and great suffering, does not say to those men, you know, you really ought to be stronger. But the Lord Jesus Christ says to those men, here's a supper. Here is my body and here is my blood, which I break and which I shed for you, that you sinners in the midst of this world might have my comfort and my peace. Or the Lord Jesus Christ with His disciples upon the Mount of Olives, as He was about to ascend into heaven, having announced that all authority or power is given unto Him in heaven and on earth, as the disciples stand there, not sure of what's happening, not sure of what's going to come next, with questions for the Lord about whether now He will establish the kingdom for the Jews, the Lord says to them, go forth and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Who could imagine such a thing? That people from all nations, sinners from all nations, might be baptized in or into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, might be given covenant fellowship through Jesus Christ, and might have their sins washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the promise of Christ ringing in the ears of those disciples who will go forth and baptize, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, by the sacraments, gave to His church great encouragement and gave to them a little oasis in the midst of this life of sin and death. And that truth of the gospel of the sacraments, the Heidelberg Catechism captures and explains in Lord's Day 25. What are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof He may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that He grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. The testimony of the sacraments is Jesus Christ. That's what they say. That's what they teach. That's what they declare. That's what they seal. So that the child of God, whose faith is weak and who lives in the midst of this world in all kinds of sin and all kinds of fears, has this pledge of the goodwill and the mercy of God to him, that the Lord Jesus Christ was broken and His blood shed for our salvation. That's the wonder of the sacraments. That's the testimony that God makes by the sacraments. And so this evening, we come to our final sermon on Lord's Day 25 this time around, as we consider this Lord's Day under the theme, the sacraments. In the first place, consider their appointment. In the second place, consider their use. And in the third place, consider their efficacy. The sacraments, their appointment, their use, and their efficacy. God appointed sacraments in His church. Again, God appointed sacraments in His church. That God appointed sacraments means that God has officially instituted and officially ordained those sacraments as ordinances in His church. You could say it this way, God gave those sacraments to the church. God delivered them. He bestowed these sacraments upon the church. But He gave them and bestowed them as His appointments, as His ordinances, as His institutes for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. And our Reformed confessions emphasize this matter of the sacrament's appointment. God gave these, and God ordained these for His church. The Catechism emphasizes that in question 66, what are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God. The Catechism continues in question 67, are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed? Yes, indeed, is the answer. And then question 68, how many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? Two, namely holy baptism and the Holy Supper. That emphasis of our Heidelberg Catechism, is the same emphasis as the Belgic Confession in Article 33, entitled The Sacraments. We believe that our gracious God, on account of our weakness and infirmities, hath ordained the sacraments for us, thereby to seal unto us His promises, and to be pledges of the goodwill and grace of God toward us, and also to nourish and strengthen our faith. The Heidelberg Catechism and the Belgic Confession both emphasize that God has appointed and instituted and ordained these sacraments for His church. It was that appointment that we read in Matthew 26 and 28 this evening. In Matthew 26, we have the record of that appointment of the Lord's Supper, its institution, its ordinance, as the Lord Jesus Christ took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, take, eat, this is My body. And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. There is the institution, the appointment, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper by Jesus Christ Himself. And then in Matthew 28, we have Jesus' ordinance of baptism. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What the Heidelberg Catechism and the Belgic Confession say about the appointment, the institution, the ordinance, that which they emphasize, they do so because Scripture teaches Christ gave and instituted these sacraments for the church. In that connection, the Heidelberg Catechism stands against Rome, and we with the Catechism, when it says that Christ has instituted two sacraments, not seven, as Rome maintains, but the two sacraments of holy baptism and the Lord's Supper. A sacrament is that which God has appointed, not that which man has invented, not that which man has decided shall be a sacrament, but a sacrament is that which God has appointed Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we emphasize so strongly the matter of the appointment and the ordinance and the institution of the sacraments? Because that appointment of holy baptism and the Holy Supper reveals something about God. The sacraments themselves reveal something about God. The sacraments themselves declare the love of God for His church in Jesus Christ. But the very appointment of the sacraments declares something about God. The sacraments declare the mercy of God to His church through the Lord Jesus Christ. God does not need the sacraments. The sacraments are, you might say, not useful to God. They don't give Him anything. They don't bring Him anything. God does not need the sacraments for Himself. God is the blessed God. God is the blessed from eternity to eternity as the living God. They do not add anything to Him. God does not need the sacraments. You do, and I do. We are those for whom the sacraments were appointed. And the Heidelberg Catechism draws such careful attention to it, and the Scriptures draw such careful attention to it in order to show the mercy of God for His church in appointing these sacraments. That's the perspective of the Belgic Confession in Article 33, when the Belgic Confession says, God has ordained the sacraments for us. For us. This is why He did it, for you, as members of the Church of our Savior. And why for us? Because you're weak, and I am, and because of our infirmities, we believe that our gracious God, on account of our weakness and infirmities, hath ordained the sacraments for us. And how weak we are. We are so slow to believe. This has always been a problem for the people of God. A problem because of our flesh. A problem because of our weakness and infirmity. We're so slow to believe. The disciples, seeing the miracles of Jesus Christ, were so slow to believe. We cannot give ourselves that faith. We cannot confirm in ourselves faith in what God is saying to us. We are so infirm and so weak in our faith. Our spirits are dry and so easily become dusty here in this wilderness below. We are so often cold and wooden in our spirit, so that in our inner man, in our inner life, we are weak and infirm. We are sinners who sin many sins, so that written over us must be this concerning ourselves: ungodly. Ungodly, that's what must be written upon us. Without works. That's what must be written upon us. We are weary, and so easily grow weary, and so easily have our hands hang down, and our knees become feeble here in this sojourn below, lying as we do in the midst of sin and death. We are weak, and we are infirm. God teaches us in the gospel His promise. God teaches us in the preaching of the gospel His goodness to His people. He tells us week in and week out of His love for His church in Jesus Christ. He says those things over and over again. And what do? We hear that word of God, and out we go, and our faith is weak again. And our souls are dry and dusty. And we're afraid and fearful and wonder how everything will turn out. The people of God are so weak and infirm. And we're just now learning that as a congregation, and we'll just now be learning that as a congregation for all our life. That's always the way it goes with the Church of God in this world. She just now learns always of the depth of her sin, the depth of her depravity, the depth of her weakness, the depth of her infirmity. We are weak and we are infirm. And what does God say to His church in her weakness, her infirmity, her lack of faith, her unbelief, her coldness, her woodenness, her weariness? What does He say? Does He come and say to us, what are you doing? You should be stronger. Why are you so weak all the time? You should be stronger. That's not what God says. God says to us, you are weak, you are infirm, I will give you a sacrament. I will ordain and appoint and institute for you a sacrament and sacraments, so that by the use of those sacraments, as those pledges, as those signs and seals, you, my people, might know what I think of you in your weakness. And this is what I think of you. I love you. I am tender towards you. I have mercy for you. And so Jesus Christ in the upper room took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said to those weak men and infirm men, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And this cup of the New Testament is my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ to his church, about to go out into all of the world, said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, so that all of those people that are mine in all of those nations who never knew that the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost was their God, might have this testimony of baptism, that they are in him and they belong to him in an everlasting covenant of grace. God, in his mercy for the weakness and the infirmity of us, instituted and appointed sacraments. And they're so simple. They're the simplest things there could be. There's a little water and a washing. There's a little bread and a little wine and a feeding and an eating and a drinking. These sacraments are so simple, they could be administered in a cave somewhere. There's nothing complex about them, so that even the children of the church, as they witness those sacraments being administered in the church, can understand the essence of them. The sacraments are a simple institution, an ordinance, an appointment of God for his church, because of our weakness and infirmity, so that by their very appointment, God teaches us his mercy for his people. The Belgic Confession, Article 33 again. We believe that our gracious God, on account of our weakness and infirmities, hath ordained the sacraments for us, thereby to seal unto us his promises, and to be pledges of the goodwill and grace of God towards us. What does God think of me? Well, look what he has instituted in his church. He has instituted the sacraments as a pledge, a constant pledge to me, of his goodwill towards me, and of his grace towards me, through Jesus Christ. God has appointed the sacraments by joining them to the preaching. That's next in the first point. God has appointed the sacraments by joining them with the preaching of the gospel. That's evident from question and answer 66 of the Heidelberg Catechism. The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel. God has given these sacraments to declare something more fully, something that was already declared, what the gospel declared, the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. The preaching of the gospel proclaims it, and God has instituted the sacrament more fully to declare it, and more fully to seal it to us. He joins it to the preaching of the gospel. Belgic Confession, Article 33. God has appointed the sacraments to be pledges of the goodwill and grace of God toward us, and also to nourish and strengthen our faith, which sacraments he hath joined to the word of the gospel, the better to present to our senses both that which he signifies to us by his word and that which he works inwardly in our hearts. God has joined these sacraments to the gospel in his institution of the sacraments, so that the sacraments go with the preaching of the gospel. Now take note that the fact that he joins the sacraments with the preaching of the gospel, to use the language of Belgic Confession 33, or that he adds the sacraments to the preaching of the gospel, as we often speak, the fact that he joins them or adds them does not mean that the sacraments are unnecessary. And there may need to be correction in our midst on this point. The fact that God joins them and adds them to the preaching of the gospel means that the sacraments cannot function without the preaching of the gospel. The church must not become sacramentarian. A sacramentarian church is a church like the Roman Catholic Church. It is a church that teaches that God gives through the sacraments a little packet or bundle of grace, and now it's up to the one, whoever it is, elect or reprobate, to take hold of that little package of grace and make use of it in order to earn and merit more grace. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ must not become sacramentarian in making the sacraments to be a means of earning and merit on our way up to God, and divorcing those sacraments from the preaching of the Word. That the sacraments are joined with the preaching of the Word means that they cannot function on their own without the preaching of the gospel, but it does not mean that the sacraments are unnecessary. For a long time in our midst, there has been statements like these, that strictly speaking, a man can live without the sacraments, but he cannot live without the preaching of the gospel. That goes back years, that goes back generations. There probably was a good motive, undoubtedly was a good motive behind that statement. The statement was meant to say to those in the church world, decades ago and still today, to say to those in the church world who were getting rid of the preaching of the gospel and substituting all manner of things for the preaching of the gospel, it was meant to say, don't lose the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel is necessary. By the preaching of the gospel, the Holy Ghost creates faith. And that statement was probably meant to say something like this, that by the preaching of the gospel, your faith itself is also strengthened. It's not only the sacraments that strengthen your faith. The preaching of the gospel is also that by which the Holy Ghost strengthens faith, as it is that by which the Holy Ghost creates faith. But it's too far to say that because the sacraments are added to the preaching of the gospel, that the sacraments are unnecessary. That line of thinking will lead to all kinds of mischief in the Church of Jesus Christ. That line of thinking will inevitably make us wiser than God. That's the only thing that that line of thinking can do, make us wiser than God. Though we understand the arguments and even agree with the arguments about preaching, that it strengthens faith, and though we understand the good motives, the sentiment that the sacraments are unnecessary for the church does not arise out of the Reformed confessions. What do the Reformed confessions say about the sacraments? They are ordained. They are appointed. They are instituted, not by man. No man rose up, mere man rose up and said, hey, let's have some sacraments to go along with this preaching. No mere man did that. God ordained the sacraments. The Lord Jesus Christ instituted them in his church. And God ordained the sacraments because it was his will and good pleasure that his church have a constant testimony of his good will and of his grace towards his church in the very institution of those sacraments. The notion that the sacraments are unnecessary for the Church does not arise out of the Reformed confessions and does not arise out of the Scriptures. Rather, God has added these sacraments to the preaching of the gospel. He has joined them together in order that He might give His Church, who is weak and who is infirm and who needs them, though God does not need them, the Church who needs those sacraments might have this testimony of God, but I love you, and I am gracious towards you, and I will that you have a pledge of my good will towards you. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has as the gracious gift of her gracious Father to her the sacraments which He has instituted, appointed, and ordained for her comfort. God has ordained and instituted and appointed those sacraments for use in the Church. The use of the sacraments is as wholly visible signs and seals. Question and answer 66 of the Catechism. What are the sacraments? The sacraments are wholly visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof He may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely that He grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. The fact that they are signs and seals appointed of God for the gospel means that the whole testimony and the whole meaning of those sacraments is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the content of the sacraments. That is the message of the sacraments. It is a message that is no different from the message of the preaching of the gospel. In the preaching of the gospel, the one message is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what makes the preaching the gospel. And so the one message of the sacraments is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And the Reformed confessions are at pains to teach that that is the message of the sacraments. They've fully, more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely that He grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Question 67, are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed, for the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which He offered for us on the cross. The sacraments have nothing to say except Jesus Christ and Him crucified as the salvation of God's people. And the Reformed confessions emphasize this message of the gospel that the sacraments declare and seal, because that's how the Lord instituted them. When He took the bread and broke it and blessed it and gave it to His disciples, He said, "This is my body." What's the meaning of the body of Christ? The body of Christ was that body where the curse of God was laid. The body of Christ was that body where all our sins, the sins of His elect people, were counted, so that Jesus' body was broken and His blood shed for the salvation of His people. And so also with baptism. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that He doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son, We are taught of the forgiveness of our sins by His one sacrifice, and in the name of the Holy Ghost, that He makes us members of Christ and applies unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins. The baptism and the Lord's Supper teach one thing, and that is the body and blood, and the washing and the cleansing, and the feeding and the nourishment by the Lord Jesus Christ crucified, and Him alone. The message of the sacraments, as we have seen many times now, the message of the sacraments is identical to the message of the preaching of the gospel, and that's what makes the sacraments good news for the Church of Jesus Christ. The sacraments are not the law. The sacraments are not a burden that God lays on the Church. That's what man wants to make of the sacraments. That's what we want to make of the sacraments. A law that we must obey, so that by the obeying of that law, we have made something of ourselves. Or we want to make the sacraments a testimony of what we have, and what belongs to us, and what we have done, so that we come to the table as a testimony of the unity that we have, or we come to the table as a testimony of the obedience that we have performed. But that's not the testimony of the sacraments. The testimony of the sacraments is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gift of God that testifies to us that we sinners who are filthy and corrupt here and whose faith is weak, that we sinners have righteousness before God for the sake of Jesus Christ alone. That's the gospel. That's the use of the sacraments, to testify unto us and seal unto us more fully the gospel, the promise of the gospel. And the use of those sacraments as the testimony of the gospel is the use of those sacraments as signs and seals of the gospel. What is a sign? A sign is that which represents another thing, so that the bread and the wine in the Lord's Supper and the water in baptism represent the spiritual reality of our washing in the blood of Christ and our eating and drinking the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are signs, and as signs, they tell something. As signs, they declare something. They teach something. As signs, they instruct in something. Just as a sign on the roadway today, for example, instructs and teaches something. A sign teaches that you must stop here, or a sign teaches that there is a railroad crossing just there. A sign instructs, a sign declares. That's what the sacraments do. They declare. They cannot do that without the preaching. They depend upon the preaching. But Christ has added to those signs the promise of the gospel that by those signs He might declare unto us more fully what He has already preached in the gospel. That's answer 66. By the use thereof, He may the more fully declare to us the promise of the gospel. And the sacraments are seals. They're signs and seals. What is a seal? A seal is a pledge. A seal is a guarantee. When you see the seal of the United States government upon the currency that we use, then you have a pledge and a guarantee that this piece of paper is worth the amount printed on it. In a similar way, the sacraments are pledges and seals and guarantees of the grace of God in Christ, of the promise of the gospel. And these sacraments work as pledges and seals by being wholly visible signs and seals of the promise of the invisible truth of the gospel. God instituted water in baptism that is to be applied to the one being baptized, that by that visible sign and seal he might testify and seal to us the truth that it represents. Our sins are washed away in Christ, and we have an eternal covenant of grace with God by his mercy. Christ instituted bread and wine, and the eating and drinking of bread and wine in the Lord's Supper, that by that visible sign he might declare and testify to us that we eat and drink the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. God has instituted the sacraments as signs and seals of the gospel, and he has done that by the use of the sacraments, he might strengthen our faith. That's what the sacraments are for, the strengthening of your faith and my faith. We who are weak and infirm, we who need the pledge of God and the more full declaration of God that we are righteous for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And the way the sacrament works then is that when I hold that bread, I know it's real. There's no doubt in my mind that it's real. That's what I feel in my fingers. That's what I smell with my nose and taste with my tongue and chew with my teeth. And that wine is real. There's no doubt about it. It's meant to be impressed upon my senses so that in my heart I have no doubt about the reality of this bread and this wine. Or in the baptism of an infant, I have no doubt but that water was applied to that child. I can see it. And that sign and seal, by that visible sign that the Lord has given, testifies that just as real as what you held in your hand or saw with your eyes or tasted with your mouth, just as real as that is, so real is the spiritual truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood for you and his broken body for you and his washing you clean and giving you an eternal covenant of grace with God. The sacraments, as signs and seals, work and are used by God as a still small voice. That's the way God works. That's the way he uses the preaching of the gospel, and that's the way he uses the administration of the sacraments. That is, as he gives those sacraments, as with the preaching of the gospel to the church, that doesn't mean anything earth-shattering is happening in my experience. I hear the word, I understand the word, the Holy Ghost works faith and confirms faith in me by that word. I see the sacraments, I partake of the sacraments, the Holy Ghost uses that to confirm my faith, but it doesn't mean that suddenly we leap out of our chairs and run around the building. Rather, God works by that still small voice, and that too is comforting for the child of God. The child of God, then, who as he's partaking of the Lord's Supper, let's say, and all he can think about, every time he's ever taken the Lord's Supper, is that bread and that wine. As he has the impression of that upon his senses, as it takes hold of his senses, so that it fills his mouth and fills his senses, that child of God knows that this is how the Lord works. It's meant to be this way. It's meant to be a still small voice. But it works. It works surely, for the sacraments are efficacious. The efficacy of the sacraments is demonstrated, or taught rather, in the confessions, when Article 33 of the Belgic Confession says, "Therefore the signs are not in vain." The signs are not in vain. That means the bread is not in vain. The wine is not in vain. The water is not in vain. And perhaps here we need instruction as well. Perhaps there has been the thought among us that as long As we have the pure preaching of the gospel, then give or take the signs. Those signs are not in vain so as to deceive us. They're not insignificant. The Belgic Confession says, God appointed them. That's how he made the supper. That's how he made the sacrament, the baptism. That's how he made the sacraments. The signs are not in vain, but the sacraments are efficacious. That means they're powerful. They work. The efficacy of the sacraments is not that the sacraments work by their own inherent power. That's the doctrine of Rome. In the sacrament, there is some inherent power. There is a grace package that is connected to the Mass, let's say. And that packet of grace gets transferred to whoever takes it, so that that sacrament confers God's grace, that little packet of grace, to that person who can now take that grace and make use of it so meritoriously that he obtains and earns from God a larger package of grace, and on as that man climbs the ladder of merit. That is not the Reformed doctrine of the sacraments, just as it is not the Reformed doctrine of the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel does not have inside of itself some inherent power so that some grace package is bestowed upon every single one who hears that preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel, as well as the sacraments, are the power of God unto salvation and to confirm salvation and strengthen our faith by the operation of the Holy Ghost. The efficacy of the sacraments is that the Holy Ghost uses them. He uses them to confirm faith. He uses them to signify and seal to us that promise of the gospel. That's the perspective of Lord's Day 25. Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence does this faith proceed? From the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. The Holy Ghost does that. And then again in answer 67, the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. The Holy Ghost by the sacraments does not call us to place our faith in that sacrament. He doesn't call us to place our faith in that sound of preaching. And he doesn't call us to place our faith in that element of bread and wine or water in the sacrament. If that were the case, then we may as well say about the sacraments what Israel finally had to say about the brazen serpent in the wilderness. Nehushtan. It's just a piece of brass. Stop worshiping it. The Church of Jesus Christ does not worship the bread and the wine or the water of the Lord's Supper because the Holy Ghost uses those sacraments to call our attention to Jesus Christ. That's why he's appointed them. That's how he uses them, so that our faith and our trust might be in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed. That operation of the Holy Spirit is efficacious and powerful indeed, so that the Church of Jesus Christ, by the means that God has appointed for the church in the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments, is given faith and has her faith strengthened. The Church of Jesus Christ, in the midst of this wilderness, lying as we do, in the midst of sin and death, has this testimony and this promise of the gospel made by God. I love you, and I have given Jesus Christ for your salvation. this is an oasis. This is refreshment. This is rest for the Church of Jesus, the Church of Jesus Christ. It is the rest of Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, wilt thou bless thy word to us? We thank thee for it. Wilt thou apply it unto us that we might see our Savior and know him as the one who has covered our sins in his blood? We pray, Father, that thou wilt continue to give us the gospel and the sacraments for thy glory and for our profit. And we thank thee that thou dost use them for our good, and that thou dost show by them thy love and thy grace for thy church. Wilt thou hear our prayer, forgiving our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalm 138. Thee will I praise with all my heart. I will sing praise to thee before the gods, and worship will toward thy sanctuary. The words of our Savior. We'll sing the 8 verses, or the 4 stanzas of Psalm 138. Thank you. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.